Deal now. We're up to Perek Chavei. Is this working? The microphone is working?
All right. Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, Perek Chavei, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Perek Chavei, Chav Gimel is a continuation. The theme of this section is comparing Klal Yisrael to Sigim. What are Sigim? Sigim are impurities. Metal that has metal, primarily silver. That's the metal, that the ideal metal that we are focusing on. Not gold. And the reason why we're focusing ideally on silver, not gold, is because Klal Yisrael never reached the madrega of gold. They never got the gold medal. The most they got was the silver medal. Why? So we learned yesterday in the Radak, because gold represents perfection, and Klal Yisrael, even in their best behavior, they never reached a state of perfection. The most they reached was a state of silver. And we mentioned yesterday a more midrashic approach, because gold represents the concept of midas hadin. Kesef represents the concept of midas harachamim. The word kesef is related to the Aramaic word kisufin. Kisufin with a mem or nun, which means yearning. It means emotion. Emotion includes within it rachamim. Zav represents the concept of din. There's a fascinating medrash in the pasuk in let me just tell you a little more background, just to bring up the idea of Kesef and Zav, is that there are different nekudos. There is a segol and a komatz. Mashiv haruach ha-moirid ha-geshem, or is it mashiv haruach ha-moirid ha-goshem? So, as Moshe says, you should say goshem. I think in this shul, they're very makrit to say goshem, if I'm not mistaken. Some shuls, they do it. Goshem. Okay, but some shuls in the article Siddur, for whatever reason, it says Geshem. Rabbi Zlatowitz told my father, Zichron Levracha, that he did not know when he published the first article Siddur that Rav Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that it should be Goshem. Had he known, he would have printed Goshem. But subsequent to the first article Siddur, they have now probably, who knows, 20 Siddurim, Achzerim, they have both. They have Geshem, Goshem, Nusach Acher. Oh, every Siddur they have a new decision in what they want to be Geshem or Goshem. But I once saw a drush, I once saw something interesting, is that Geshem, the Hasidim are very makpid to say Geshem, because Geshem, the Nekudos are a segel. And segel means v'hiyisem li segula, chosenness. It's a segel has a connotation of something very special. Komatz means to be stingy. Don't close your hand. When you ask Hashem to give rain, to give a shefa of bracha, parnasa, do you want Hashem to be generous, that we should be the am segula, or do you want Hashem to be stingy, komatz, that Hashem should close his hand and just give us the bare minimum? So by Hasidim, I'm just telling you what it says in the books. Don't shoot the messenger here. What? You should know, that's not necessarily true. The old Hasidim, the real old Hasidim, they were so makbid on Diktuk, they were so makbid on Trop, even on the Tamei HaMikra, that if you would lay in the Pasuk and not lay it with the correct Trop, you would have to lay in the Pasuk again. Because in the Diktuk and in the Trop, Tamei HaMikra, there are Soidas. It is more the Ashkenazi, more the Litvish Olam that's not so makbid. Those days are over. You're absolutely correct. I agree with you 100%. Lubavitch, the makbid? Yeah, okay, could be. But the old timers, there's no question about it, they were very, very makbid on these things. Like you said today, right, today it's a new world.
You have to repeat Hashem's
whole
pasuk. They make you repeat the whole pasuk.
The whole pasuk. There's no issue repeating a pasuk. There's no issue to repeat a pasuk to Hashem's name. But it says in the Ramah, if a person does not lay with the Tamei HaMikra, goyarin bo, you shout at him. You tell him, you rebuke him, that what are you doing? How dare you get up and lay before us without laying with Tamei HaMikra? But you don't. But the Ramah does not require him to repeat the pasuk, because you did not express the secrets and the deeper meaning that lie in the Tamei HaMikra. Okay, but in any event, there is a segel and there is a komatz. Segel represents segula, komatz represents stinginess. So therefore, there are those that are very makpid. When you say mashiach v'nei geshem, they should say geshem with a segel, which represents an expression of generosity. How do you pronounce zahav? Zahav is a double komatz. Zahav. Komatz, as we just said, is stinginess. How do you pronounce silver? Silver is kesef, to a double segel. So it fits very well because zahav is midas hadin. Zahav represents the concept of perfection, and in perfection there is precision. There is no generosity. It's komatz. The nekudos underneath the letters zayin and hey are komatz, which means close your fist, because midas hadin is not going to give you more than you deserve. Kesef represents the concept of midas harachamim, kisufim, generosity, love, emotion. Therefore, the nekudos beneath the zayin are a double segel. Now it says,
you're not going to make a general rule on that,
no,
right?
Definitely not. This is a drush. Ein moshiv in al hadrush. It says in Shir Hashirim, Toirei zahav naaselach im nekudos hakesef. That the love of Hashem will make for us Torah. What does it mean, Torah Zav? It means studs. Studs of gold I will make for you. Hashem is going to make for us an ornament, a piece of jewelry. And the ultimate jewelry is a gold piece of jewelry with studs of silver. Torah Zav, the ornament of gold, Na'aselach, I will make for you, im with Nikudos HaKesef, with little dots of silver on this ornament to beautify it, to have it, to bring out its yofi. So that's what the Pshuta Shel Mikra. The Darshanim say, in La'asilavo, we're not going to pronounce the word Zohov as Zohov with a double komatz, but we're going to pronounce the word Zohov as Zehev. There's going to be a new pronunciation for the word Zohov. Zehev. And that's what it means in the Pasuk, Toirei Zohov Na'aselach, an ornament of gold, which the ornament here is the word, im with nekudos, the dots that traditionally are beneath the word kesef. So we're going to pronounce it zehev. What's the deeper meaning? That there will be a ribui, that midas hadin will not be limited. Midas hadin will be the norm. There'll be a generosity of midas hadin, because Klal Yisrael will have elevated themselves to a high spiritual status where they can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands a madrega of midas hadin. When Hashem created the world, we all know the Rashi and Chumash, when Hashem created the world, Hashem's wish was that it should be midas hadin. Hashem saw that the world could not survive, so Hashem joined midas harachamim to midas hadin. But in the future, with the coming of Mashiach, then when Klal Yisrael will reach a level of perfection, will be restored to Hashem's original plan, and that then the ad kadekach will be zehef. It's a very interesting idea. So just to put, the reason why I'm telling you that is because over here we learned yesterday, we're learning over here about all the different types of metals. We're doing about the main metal, silver. And then we're talking about all the metals that are of lesser quality, the bedil, the nechoshes, the oiferes, and the barzel. And Radak mentioned, what happened to gold? What happened? Where is the gold? In fact, Rashi really says something very strange, which needs some bayer. Rashi says that the core is the furnace where you refine these metals, the silver, is the Tsarfin Bo Zohov. It's a very, very powerful Rashi. Zohov Man Dikar Shemeh. Since when are we talking about gold here? You have a furnace that's used to melt metal, silver. Where all of a sudden are we getting over here with a furnace that's being used to melt gold? But because there is no gold mentioned whatsoever in any of these psukim. And as Radak said, that's because gold is too good for us. We are only that the most silver. And here Hashem is complaining, you're not even pure silver, you are a taruvis. You are a mixture of impurities mixed into your silver. And because of this problem, I have no choice but to refine you and to bring you back, bring you into Yerushalayim, and bring upon you a siege, and bring upon you tsaros, in order to refine you and to bring you back to the level of perfection of pure silver. Okay, that's just a word. I wanted to get that out. Okay, someone gave me this card over here. Anyone who gave this to me? Who
somebody
gave you what? Who what?
I thought somebody who just pays five for the
camera. Okay, fine. Okay, next. Now let's go to Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Okay, we are in this continuation. Ahi Devar Hashem Elai Lemar. Pasuk Chaf Dal Ben Adam. Emor La. Say to the Jewish people at Eretz Loimi Toy Hora. This is an explanation. After he's given us the riddle, the chida, the mashla of the silver that's impure, he's now explaining the deeper meaning of this riddle. You are a land, Loimi Toy Rahi. You're not pure. Loi Gushma Biyom Zoam. It has not rained on the day of anger. This is a great pasuk, a lot of midrashim. It has not rained on the day of anger. Now, what is that? What's going to be pasuk chav get dal in the mitzudos David? Pasuk dal says Ben. I always have a hard time finding this in this sefer. Okay, here it is. Emar lo al Yerushalayim. Speak concerning Yerushalayim. Loi mitoy harahi. You are a land that is not pure. Loi asis teshuva letar atzmech min avonech. You did not do teshuva l'chein, therefore lo yorad bo geshem. Okay, here we have different interpretations. Metzudos, rain did not descend biyom zam Hashem on the day of anger. V'charay napo uchmosh nemar v'chora af Hashem v'lo yihye motor. Kriyashma, when Hashem gets angry, then Hashem prevents the heavens from producing rain, and there is a famine. Okay, so therefore, this is the simple interpretation. You'll learn that loy me tohara means you have done averos, and therefore you're going to suffer the consequences of there not being parnasa, which is always represented in the metaphor of geshem. Rashi pasuk chav dalet lo gushma biyom zam lo nitan geshem haroy lo letahara biyom zam. Whole different interpretation. Purity. Rain, water, it's always purity. Vizorakti aleichem mayim tohoirim utehartem. Rashi is looking at the Geshem not as parnosa, v'chor af Hashem v'lo yeh motar, but rather the Geshem represents, it's a metaphor for purity. You did not, the Geshem did not come upon you. L'tahara b'yom zam u'perush hadavar kitagumo lo isavidu be'oivadin. The Targum says the same idea a little in different words. You did not do ma'isim toivim oivadin tovim diyagun Allah that can protect you, serve as a protection b'yom levat on the day of the curse. You have sinned. You brought upon yourself a curse. The least you can do is have some zuchusim, do some tztaka, some tshuva, some Torah. And that way you'll have that megan, be megan upon yourself when the yom ra'ah comes, that you do not do. So the same word geshem, gushma, is an entirely different concept, not rain, but rather zuchusin and maisin. We always need to have a backup plan. Okay, if you want to do averus, gesunte hate. Do whatever you want. You go to a dark place, in a dark land, no one is watching, domi mechal Hashem, you can do averus. But you have to also have epes chusin to be megan from the punishment that's going to come from the averos. And here the complaint is they had nothing to protect them. Let's see Radak. Radak has a different interpretation. Pasuk Chaf Dalid Ben Adam Emolol Yushalayim Shezocher Lamala Eretz At Eretz Loimito Harahi Kemosh Shekaru Lamala Temes Hashem. You have a bad reputation. VeOmar Lo Mito Hara Kemo Ashalo Yiyeh Tohar Kiloy Tohar. Same idea. You are contaminated with sin. Now the next is we have a little. I'm going to go through the grammar part and just read the words because I don't know what it means. The word gushmo is a mapik. Hey, the Yitach Lemaki who shame goyshem b'shekel goydel. So goyshem is the grammatical form is like the word godel, or with schabro im hakinui ba pei hapoal bishurok. So really it should be goshen. And the reason why it's gushma, a shurok, instead of a cholam, is because it's samuch. It's samuch to the word lo. Lo gushma, since it's next to another word, therefore that changes the grammatical form. Kamo haluluhu, kirov gudlo. There also it's a shurok because it's next to the word kirov. Upeirusha shlo yarda gushma biyom zam. Now what is that's the grammar. Now what is the deeper meaning? So at first it starts off like the mitzudos that parnasa. Hashem is not going to provide parnasa because of your sins. Kilayma biyom hasha'af Hashem shachara bochem biotar es hashemayim v'lo yimotar kimo sheyadam batara. Hashem warned them in the Torah. V'yomar pen yifte levavchem v'saritem v'avadetem elohim acherim v'yishnachavisem lochem v'chara af Hashem lochem v'yotar es hashemayim v'lo yimotar v'ho adamo lo usikinesi v'lo. The gam, okay, that's like the mitzvah stuff. The gam talking about shetia milas gushma, mi binyan shen nizkar paalo min hadagush v'nofla dagish k'mosh nofla b'ram min hadagush. I know what this means. The mapekay l'steferes hakiria, v'chamo v'saaluma yotzior ki bikura b'term kaitz v'gula al rosha. And what does it mean then according to that interpretation? I have no idea. I don't know what he means. So let's just forget about that for now. Okay. So this is the interpretation of Rashi, the Mitzubas Radak. Now let me tell you a very important Mam Chazal. First, I'm telling you from the Malbim. Let's look at the Malbim.
The Malbim says the Malbim.
The Malbim is really drawn from the Gemara. But before we go to the Gemara, maybe it's kedai to read this Malbim inside. I put here three checks next to it. It must be good. So let me see what I wrote over here. Okay. So the Malbim Pasuk of Dalit. It says Emor Law, Shema Shemarti Shayuli Beisul Lasig. He's coming to explain Hashem's complaint that you're full of impurities. Haynu Shaat Eretz Lo Mitarahi VeYitzayer Hakiloyon Shenase BaAretz Kitziyor Hakiloyon Shenase BaAretz Beis Hamabul. We're comparing the churban that's going to happen now at this time to the churban of the world at the time of the Mabul. Ki Gamhei Meshkitzu Bedarkam Kmo Dor Hamabul. They also were corrupt. Also, the same thing happened then, that the Gezar Din was because of Gezel. As here now, at the time of the Churban Yerushalayim, the Gezar Din was because of Gezel. Rak, now here is the key part. Shebe'es Hamabul Yorad HaGeshem V'tihir Es Haaretz. When Hashem destroyed the world, at least He purified it in the process. Shaoz nimcha kol tumas vahagil shenimsa al pnei aretz. Ki roichetz dover mitinuf banayim sheyitar mitumosoi vitsoi osoi. The achramabul hois aretz mitohara, it was pure. Shehamayim mitaharim kol tuma. A fascinating insight into the Mabul. The reason why Hashem destroyed the world with water is not just to destroy the world. Hashem was cleansing the world. Was preparing it for a new start.
Physically, spiritually?
Both, physically and spiritually. It's a filthy, dirty world. The world was filth.
Sent the world to the mikvah.
Hashem sent, exactly. Mm-hmm. Hashem put the world in the mikvah. He dipped the world in the mikvah. And that was the silver lining of destroying the world. The world came to an end, all the dinosaurs ceased to exist, but at least the world was cleansed. It was cleansed from its filth.
The Mabul doesn't say that the dinosaurs ceased to exist long before, but what the Mabul did was dredge up, and scientists say they lived X amount of years ago, was that it dredged up from the bottom. It's like when you get an oil delivery, they tell you not to get your oil, not to get your gasoline, because it dredges up the soot from the bottom of the tank. When it goes in, it just pushes everything to the top. So that's what happened. The dinosaur bones that were way deep in the ground get pushed up to the surface because the water
of the Mabul. So when did the dinosaurs?
Well, there's a debate whether the world was created with those bones to confuse us, or that there were other worlds.
There were many worlds before us.
Seven worlds.
The Pharisees and Israel.
Yeah.
There were many worlds before us, and there'll be many worlds after us.
There were worlds.
He says that. He says there are going to be.
On the same planet.
I believe he said. I think he says there are seven worlds on this, and we're only in the fourth. This is only the fourth. So,
we would. I see them rebuilding buildings over and over again.
Well, they fun. Look what you see in Yerushalayim when they're digging up. They see cities on the cities on the cities.
There's still a historical time. This is the prehistory.
But we're talking about billions of years.
Okay, but look what he concludes the Malbim. Aval at lo nitzhart achra churban. When Hashem destroyed Yerushalayim, Hashem did not bother to cleanse it with Mabul. Ki loy gushma biyom zam. There was no rain on the day of Hashem's anger. Shabayom shazom Hashem olayich lo yor ageshem l'taras aretz. Hashem did not purify the land. Ki hoya churban al yidei esh Lo al yidei mayim. Fascinating that the Churban Yerushalayim was even worse than the Churban of the Mabul. At least the Churban of the Mabul had the silver lining that it was cleansed. But the contamination, the defilement of the Churban of Yerushalayim was not. It was just fire.
Well, and, libun.
What?
That's libun.
It's libun. Doesn't say that. I hear what you're saying. But in the mayim is the mikvah that comes to tahara. There's only a tahara by mayim, not with fire. It's kashering, but it's not for tahara. Okay, so this is the malam. Now let me read the mayim chazal. The mayim chazal basically all revolves around the debate: did the Mabul affect Eretz Yisrael? When Noach built the Teva, the world was being destroyed. Why couldn't he just go and hide out in Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael? Because there's a machlokes in the Gemara. Yeah. If the Mabul descended on Eretz Yisrael, and the machlokes revolves around this something so fundamental. If there was Mabul, revolves around this pasuk. Is this pasuk to be read? To be read as a rhetorical question? Is this pasuk to be read as a rhetorical question, or is this pasuk to be read as a statement? Okay, let's see what it says here.
It says how Oak survived. He was so big, he was able to push his way to Israel.
And stay there in Eretz Yisrael. Stay there.
Well, there are two
different opinions. There's always another chazal.
And then there's Sichon, who was his brother.
The people of Eretz Yisrael would have survived it.
The people, that's right, they would have. That's right, they would have. Maybe they did. Okay, let me read the Gemara. The Gemara says, Omar lo Rabbi Yochanan v'al lo. The Gemara that talks about the Paraduma. Now, when you bring the Paraduma, according to one opinion, when you prepare and you slaughter the Paraduma, okay, you first have to inspect that the land, okay, the earth upon where you slaughter the Paraduma is clean from Tumah. There are no bones. There are no bones in the vicinity of where you shech the Paraduma. So the Gemara asks the question, what are you talking about? The whole Eretz Yisrael is Becheskas Tahar. The only place where there's a chazaka, where there's a problem, there might be bones, is outside of Eretz Yisrael, from the Mabul. The Mabul brought death to the entire world, and people's bones are scattered throughout the entire world. But you don't have that problem in Eretz Yisrael. So the most similar Yochanan, how do you call Eretz Yisrael? The whole Eretz Yisrael is Bedukahi. So the Gemara says, so what then is the point of disagreement between the two opinions? You need to inspect the place where you shech the Paraduma. So the Gemara answers, Amar by Michael Lubegi, Mar Savar, Yorad, Mabul, Eretz Yisrael. Mar Savar, Lo Yorad, Amar Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzhak Ushnehem, the Machlokes all revolves around this pasuk, Mikra Echadarshu, Ben Adam, Emola, At Loy Mitoharahi, you are a land that is not Tahar. It did not rain upon you on the day of anger of the time of the Mabul. Rabbi Yochanan Sabar, Asmuei Masmakra. The pasuk is to be read as a question. Eretz Yisrael Miloy Mitoharat. He learns that you are tar. Are you not a land that is pure? Klum Yardu Olayich Geshamin Biyom Zaham. It's a question. Loy Gushma. Are you not pure? Did it rain when on the day of anger of the Mabul? Of course not. So since it did not rain at the time of the Mabul, lo gushma biyom zam, is it true? Mi loy klum yordu olayich kishamim biyom zam? Question: did it rain? It didn't rain. Of course, it didn't rain. And so therefore, you are a land that is. I'm sorry, the other way around. You are.
It did rain.
Loi mitoharaat. Statement. You are a land that's tame. The land is full of dead bodies wherever you turn. How do I know this? The Mabul. The Mabul dispersed the bones of all the dead people. Loi gushma biyom zoam. Did it not rain upon you on the day of anger on the Mabul? It certainly did. And therefore, wherever you turn, there are dead bodies. So when you bring the Paraduma, you have to be super careful to make sure the Paraduma is not being slaughtered over an area where there are dead bodies. You have to make an inspection, take out your radar, ultra-high-tech radar, and do an inspection to make sure there's nothing down below.
How deep?
How deep? All the way down. All the way down to the core of the earth. Bedrock. All the way down. How do you know? They are simonim. Karka Basula. They had someone to determine if this land, anything, was untouched. I don't know the technology. For Shlokish Savar Kipashta, Eret Yitoharaat, Mi Lo Yardu Alecha Gesham Biyom Zam. So he learns the pasuk is Kipashte, that Eretz Loy Mitoharaat. The question is on the first part of the pasuk. Are you not a land that's tahar? Of course you're tahar. Because it's a statement. Lo gushma biyom zam. Because it did not rain on the day of the Mabul. So the point of difference between the two opinions is, where do you put the question, where do you put the statement? Right. Do you put the question on the first half of the pasuk, and the statement is the second half of the pasuk, or vice versa? If you put the question on the first half of the pasuk, then it means that the Mabul did not come down Eretz Yisrael. Loi me toharaat? Are you not pure? Of course you're pure. Because, statement, lo gushma biyom zam. But according to the other interpretation, it's a little round. Lo mitoharaat. Indeed, you are not pure. Why are you not pure? Like gushma biyom zoam. Did it not rain cats and dogs on the day of the Mabul upon you? Of course it did. And therefore, that is why you are tamei as well. So this is.
But that's only according to the Mabul.
No, not the Mabul. According to the Gemara.
But according to the Radak and the Mitzudas, the water cleanses. Not that the water brings down the bones.
Right, in the Chanami, right. In the Chanami. So it's right, it's working. Right. This Gemara is working with the basic, just the basic mitzias, the reality. Did the Mabul affect Eretz Yisrael? The Ra, Mitzudas, and the Radak, and the Mabul, they're focusing on the spiritual element, the spiritual concept of the statement. They're learning that the second half of the Pasuk is a statement because it's referring to the current time. Is that currently, not what happened in the time of the Mabul, it's referring to right now, is that Hashem, when He's going to destroy Yerushalayim, He's not going to bring down rain, it's only going to be fire.
Maybe that's shot in the Pasuk Vatoki Oretz Esher Shvel. It never reaches that point of such terrible tumor because the land spits out people who do.
So it doesn't need to be cleansed. It doesn't need to be. Okay,
maybe,
could be. Okay, now let's go to Pasuk Chafei Kesher. Now we're describing that we're now going to enumerate four different categories of sin, four different groups of sinners. And we're going to see when we finish all this, the Rambam is going to explain these four categories correspond to the four different types of metal. So the first group of sinners that were found in the time of Chum Yishlam of the Nevi'im, Kesher Nevi'eha B'Saycha. There was a conspiracy. Kesher means a conspiracy of the prophets. All the prophets were all part of a union. And they all had a deal to make sure that they lie to the people. They tell the people that everything is going to be okay. There's not going to be a korban. Continue in your merry ways, and just make sure you don't forget to pay your membership dues to us. So we have parnasa. There was a kesher nevi'eha b'saycha, a conspiracy of the prophets was within the city. Ka'arish, they were like lions, who were lions that were roaring, taref, ripping people apart. Nefesh Achol, they ate neshamos, they consumed people's neshamos, they caused them to die by allowing them to continue to have eros, they caused that they would die prematurely. Chosen, their wealth, vikar, and their honor, yikahu, they took away from them by allowing them, they robbed them by demanding money, and they took away their honor by I guess yikar, we'll see them farsha, yikar also can sometimes mean money, we'll see more in a moment. Al menoisecha, hirbu b'saycha, and they caused widows, by people dying, they cause widows, many more widows, to be increased among the Jewish people. Let's see another pasuk
Chavav. Again, we're talking about the false prophets.
The false prophets, correct. Ruba de Ruba, Nach, when it says Nevi'im, refers to false prophets, correct. Pasuk Chavav, Koyhaneha. Now, we're going to the second group. The second group are the prophets. These are the Koyhanim, not the prophets, another prophets, the Koyhanim, who work in the Beis HaMikdash. They are supposed to be the teachers. So the primary role of the Koyhanim is to teach. They failed. They did not teach. Koy haneha chomsu toirosti. They robbed. They denied. They withheld my Torah. Vaychalalu kodoshai. They are in charge of the Beis Hamikdash and their sins. Through their sins, they profane my holy things. Bein kodesh lochol lo hivdilu. They did not differentiate between kodesh lochol. Or bein atami lotar lo hivdilu. They did not make known to people the difference between tami and tar. Uli shav soy sai helimo ineem. They did not give musar to the people for not observing Shabbos correctly. Vo ichal b'secham. I became profaned. I became a mundane god amongst the people. The sanctity of religion was lost. Okay, let's see these two categories. In the Mitzvah, the Stav Pasek, Chav Hei, Mitzudos, David, Kesher Nevi'eha, B'Sechol Yer, Yesh Kesher Nevi'eha Sheker. There was a conspiracy amongst the false prophets, hamisnabim al hashalom, that would lie, would tell people there's nothing to worry about, peace will reign. Pasuk, next pasuk, ka'arina further, ka'ari shayek kmo hari hashayek b'kol lahatil ema v'achar zeh todef taref, like a lion roars to instill terror, and then after then the lion rips apart its prey. Kain hema mafhilim hanashim b'kaylam, they would terrorize people with their voice, v'divrehem uvazehem misisim v'tarfim oisam na'ilam, and by terrorizing them, they led them astray, and they were ripped out of this world. These false prophets caused the people to do averos because of their instructions, which were sheker, and that caused their victims to die prematurely. Nefesh achalu, oichlim hanefashos, v'loichlim mehem hachesek hayakar. They ate them up, and they took their money. Marbim ha'almonos, and when they died, then there were more widows, kiyargu an shehen. Ritzim lemar heim misabim kol ele, they caused this to happen, ki bihisho anam al divayhem, when these people, they trusted in the false prophets, yimoanu lasos teshuva, they did not repent, ubo ha'poronios galoinam emmelo, Hashem punished them for their sins. They were through charlatans, and they just told them, give us money, 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 and everything will be okay. They stole their money, they stole their honor, and they convinced them to averos, and that was the end. Pasuk Chavav, now we talk about the Kohanim. Chamsu toirasi, hesiru toirasi mehem. The word chamsu means to deny, to remove. It is the job, it is the role of the Kohen to teach. And if you do not teach, you are denying the people what's rightfully theirs. Ki loy lamdu imohem. They did not learn with them. V'yal ha-koyhanim l'lamed ha-toyra. It's their mission. K'moy shenemar ki sivsei koyhen yishmi yudas v'soro yivak shemipiyu. The lips of the koyhen guard knowledge, and you shall seek Torah from their mouths. V'yichalalu bizu kodoshai. The koyhanim profane my, they despise my holy things. L'yosu hevdol l'pefresh bein dvar kodesh l'dar chulin. Lo hidio ha-hevdol shebineyem u'mishab sesai u'michil shabas ha-shabasois. Helimu ayin lemichu b'mechalim oisam, they did not protest v'eichal v'secham na'aseisi b'neim l'chulol v'loi mekudosh. Okay, it's very simple, self-understood. Now let's see these two psukim in the Mitzudos. Rashi, pasuk chof hei. The two categories, the prophets and the Kohanim. Kesher nivyecho nikshorim yachad be'etzor ro'ah. There was a conspiracy to give bad advice to the people in order that they get money. Nefesh achalu shayunaitim shaychat. They took bribes, umachazikim yidei mireim, and they strengthened their friends, laharoik, at the expense of bringing death, velishol, velavois, death, plunder, and spoil, despoiling, v'nivoin lahem shalom. They lied to the people, they told them everything's going to be okay. Chosen means mamon. They took away from them their money, they told them, just give us money, you gotta be very, very good to these mukubalim, you gotta be very, very careful. There's a lot of fakers out there. A lot of fakers out there hiding up shingles and telling you to come to them and telling them to solve all your problems as long as you commit yourself to give away all of your money. It's nothing new. It's exactly what took place in the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Not that there are some people that are good. I'm sure there are some good people. Be very, very careful. Very, very careful, especially when they start asking you for money, then you know something is really, really wrong. Okay. It's one thing, you want to give them money. It's minhanimus. It's minhanimus that you give them. They do. They give you advice. Their time. You give them money. But when the Yeshua is dependent, if you'll commit yourself to give me 10% of your income every single month, then I guarantee you will have a Yeshua. That's a real problem. If they say to you, they give you advice, and then when you leave, you just happen to give them a donation, and that's what's expected, that's fine. But when they tie the Yeshua to how much money you're going to give them, you know that you are in trouble, and especially when the money is to their own institutions. One thing, they tell you, give tzedakah. So give tzedakah to any tzedakah you want. But when they say, you give tzedakah to me, to my institutions, I don't know about you, but something doesn't smell right. No? I don't know. And that's what it says here in this pasuk. I mean, it's a fair pasuk. The Nevi'im, they're like, and I re-shay to it, it says here, nefesh achalu, choysen vikar yikachu. They took money. They took away your money in order to tell you what's going to be. It's a Farish HaPasuk.
I was at the Kotel one time and a guy came over and he gives me a bracha. I gave him $1. So he said, the bracha is $5.
She was for 20% bracha.
He was cheap.
All right, let's go further.
I did better. I told the guy, I gave him a bracha and I said, where's my money?
Ooh. As Nair, you're always outsmarting everyone. Okay. Pasik Chaf Vav. Now we come to category number 2, the Kohanim. Chamsu Tarasi Aleim Chayyullah Chichlahi Roslahodim Chaykum Mishpat. It's their mission, their job, to teach. Vulayasu. They failed. Hareze Chamas Shechamas Shechamas Suha Min Hatzlich Nulmait. This is theft. You steal the knowledge from those that need to learn. Voichal v'nischalalti, and through doing so, I became a chulin in their eyes. Now we go to the candles, the Radak of these two categories. Pasuk Chafei Kesher Nivyecha Nivya Sheker Kashu Kesher Bnehem Shneisnabu Beinyan Echad Gleimer Shalom Shalom. Yonis interrogates Sias Sofroha Begava. There was a band of, I don't know what that word means. Sofroha. Anyone know what that means? I don't know what that means. Let's go further. Kari Shaik Taref Taref Kari Hakov. Here we can read this very quickly, like a lion. Kari Hakov Pesucha. There's a patach. Loi Taire Al Hayidia. I don't know what that means. Amar Kama Ari Shuhu Shaik Vachakach Hu Taref Taref. Like a lion that roars and rips apart. Kain Him Hamafilu Ha'am Bedevim Bedzaykim Bekol Medabrim Bechazaka. They would terrorize the people, and then. And umarim ta'anoisem lahavil ha'am l'shmai aleim, to terrorize the people, do what they want. Uvezeh, by doing so, tarfim v'horgim oisam, they would kill them. Vezeh nefesh achalu, ki luhim le'el manav shosam, ki heim garbim lochem kol hara haba aleim, they're causing them death. Next words, choysen v'kar yikachu, the false prophets took away from them their money and their honor. Choysen ho'ir v'kara, the wealth of the city and its honor. V'heim lo'kim oiso ki heim machzikim b'yodim asim harayim. They told them, keep on doing your averos. And by doing averos, Hashem had no choice but to bring punishment. U'v'oin zeh, yavoy aleim ho'oye v'yikach kol machmadayim. The enemy comes and takes away their wealth. V'areze kilu, therefore it's as if they have caused their wealth to be taken away. So the Radak learned, it's not that they told the people, give us your money, give it to me. It means no, they didn't take the money for themselves, but by allowing them to do averos, memela, the money was lost from everyone due to the korban. They caused many widows to increase in the city. Choysen, kama otsad, what choysen means a storage house of money. The two words are put together to show the word yechasein means yotzer. Okay, the next words, Koyhan Neha, Zohar Ishoinim Vehem Anadim, Vakoyanim Hashtadim, Viachakach Amo Aretz. Okay, he's going into the next psukim. We first mentioned the prophets, then we mentioned the Koyhanim, and then we're going to mention the princes, and then we're going to mention the common man, four groups. Viamar Kikulam Darku Derech Ra'ah, Kolecha Bamashu Boy, everyone was corrupt. There was no segment of the Jewish people that was a good, honest person, or good person. Afakayhanim shalem lohiros hatoyra heim chomsu the gazlu oisa me'asoisa kevin shaim oivrim alecha ve'echin yichisar am alecha. They rob the people. If they're not going to be observant, if they don't practice what you preach, then what are you worth? Vaychalu kadoshai shacholum b'tuma. They were not careful in eating kachin b'tara. Bein kodesh lochol lohivdilu bein hatam b'tara lohidiu. He's a little civil kmo shehu sar b'tara. They saw that the people were carrying on Shabbos. Now here's a very important thing that he's bringing a pasuk in Yirmiyah. What exactly was the Chil Shabbos? This is why you find people to get very worked up about in Eruvim. When the Erev is a chashash, that Erev is not kosher. In Yirmiyah, what was Yirmiyah bothered Yirmiyah about Chil Shabbos was the specifically carrying on Shabbos. There are Lamed Tes Melachas, 39 categories of labor. Every single one of them is very serious. We learned this week about turning on the lights, the Shabbos switch. What are you doing when you turn on the lights? you're doing makeh bepatish. According to most places, can be doing only the most of midrabanan. You're doing a midrabanan. You're doing a makeh bepatish. I'm not even sure the protein. What exactly? The Beis Yitzchak originally said it was Eish. Okay, my great-grandfather of Beis Yitzchak, he said it was Eish, and they shot him down. They shot him down. That fire,
those
electricity.
Days, that's what they thought, they had a mistaken idea.
You understand the technology, how it works. So he said, turning on the lights. I take it back. It is true because you have an incandescent bulb, so you're causing the filament to glow. When you it is true.
Take off the switch plate and hit the switch and watch what happens.
You make sparks. So halacha l'maisa, the place can, turning on an incandescent bulb, according to most place can indeed is in melacha d'oraisa. Because you're causing the filament in the bulb to become red hot. That's a pecham, that's eish d'oraisa. In a fluorescent bulb, most posts can hold the gas, causing the gas to heat up and to produce light, is only midrabanan. I believe that Rybelski, Zichron Levracha, was of the opinion that a fluorescent is also de'oraisa, because there's a part of the fluorescent bulb that ignites the gas to illuminate, becomes red hot, and that is de'oraisa. Other parts of what?
LED?
LED, no. It appears LED everyone holds only with the Rabbana. These LEDs only with the Rabbana, and that's what it would seem. LED, there is no part that becomes red hot. It's a different technology. So what is it? So it's electricity. Turning on an air conditioner, turning on an electric appliance, L'chayr is only a midrabbana. It's not a deraisa. Okay, you can go into every single area in halacha, there's a shayla. But what did Yirmiyah get upset about? Chaytza, taking from Rishus Sayachit to a Rishus Sarabim, and the first Taisus and Sechta of Shabbos says Chaytza is a Malacha Gerua. From all the Lama Test Malachas, it's the weakest Malacha. You're not actually transforming one thing into every other Malacha. There is transformation. There is a creativity taking place. Chaytza, there is no creativity. It's just transport. And therefore, in the eyes of the common man, it's a malacha gerua. And therefore, people had a tendency to be mezalzel in this malacha gerua. And that's why Yirmiyah went to town. He was so upset that people are carrying on Shabbos. And he gave them mussar. And here, it's very interesting that the Radak says that when Yecheskel gave mussar to people, why they are not observing Shabbos, I don't know how he knows it, he says it was specifically focusing on carrying on Shabbos.
Well, they didn't have electricity.
Well, they had other things, other types of labor they could have been doing on Shabbos. Other lama tes v'lochas, it was carrying. And indeed today, that's why people get very worked up. You have an Erev, very good. Just make sure the Erev is a kosher Erev. Some of these Eruvim in these big places, you know, it's a nightmare to go check the Erev to make sure it's kosher. I know I go to my brother once in a while in Lakewood, so when I walk to Shul, so to walk to where he davens, it's an 18-minute walk. It takes exactly time to 18 minutes to walk there where he davens on Shabbos. It takes me also 18 minutes to walk from my home to walk to Chaim Lund. It takes me also exactly 18 minutes. It's 18, about a backpack, so 1 mile. Like, no, it's 1 mile, it's exactly. I looked on Google Maps. It's exactly 1 mile from where I live to Chaim Lund. Exactly 1 mile. And it takes me approximately 18 minutes to walk it.
So the way you watch the Shabbos.
What? During the week. No, during the week. I walk every day. We're during the week. So the area there is very fascinating, where the path that he goes is right at the boundary of the Erev. It's fascinating. It's right there. So you walk there 18 minutes and you see the Erev, and you see, it's very interesting how they put all the lechis, and it's an enormous undertaking.
Right.
Enormous. People have no appreciation of what goes on in an Erev. They're using the telephone wires, and along every pole they have to have their telephone wires are not good because there is no lechi, so they have to have a makeshift lechi along the side, and then in some parts it goes in and out, and it gets a little more complicated. Sometimes they have to have a makeshift, like a thing where they have to make their own air to connect the dots.
I used to go around checking the air. If I had to have in my trunk like 20 lechis with me,
just in case.
Bang them into the trees, just in case.
Just in case. So it's
but
a
if
unique,
the
left
is
they were sagging, if they were not sagging.
It can be open to 10 amos.
What do you mean? In Echanami, 10 amos is not so much. 10 amos is 15 feet. 15 feet is nothing. In a modern city, 15 feet is nothing. It's a joke, 15. What's 15 feet? 10 amos is 15 feet, L'chumra. 20 feet lakula. But then no one goes 20 feet. After 50 feet. It's nothing. You have an open air of 15 feet. You're finished. So you really get an appreciation of what an Erev is when you walk along the boundary and you see how many what things can go wrong, how they're going and how hard they have to work to make sure everything is perfect. So it's not a serious, it's a very serious matter. And here we find over here that the Hakpad was bedavka on the issue of carrying. Okay, next words in the Radak. My ruusi v'cholas, I'm not sure what he means there. V'cholas, it descended. Ruusi, my evil beneihon. He has different translation, which I don't know what it means, so we'll leave that out for now. Okay, let's finish up. I want to finish up the parak. Let's go to the next. Sorecha, pasuk of Zayin. Chav Zayin, we're now going to category number 3. Sorecha bikirba, the leaders bikirba in the city was because Avim Tarfei Tarfei were like wolves. They ripped apart people, l'shvach dam, to spill blood, l'abid nefashois, to cause people to die. L'man bitsoa botza. Money. Alts is geld. Everything is money. Money, money, everything is money. Everything they did was just to have gain, and there was no concern. Uneviyach, now, Pasach HaFches appears to be out of place because Neviyach belongs in the beginning. So what is it doing over here? It's not clear. In Farshim talk about it, that we're vacillating between the different groups. Uneviyach, Tachluluchem Tofel. This was a section we had back a couple of parakim ago, is that the idea of making a wall, a choyetz, a wall made from inferior quality building materials, and smearing it with plaster to hide the fact that it's a piece of garbage. And when it rains, and when there are hailstones, the wall collapses. And then you say to the contractors, "No, I pay you a lot of money to build me this wall, and the wall now crumbled. You cheated me. You used material, building material that's inferior." And they laugh you out. "Too bad, the money's in my pocket. Go fight City Hall. Go try to sue me. You're not going to succeed." So the Nevi'im, it is their role to close up the breaches in Klal Yisrael, and they've cheated the Jewish people by using inferior building materials. In other words, not doing their job and disguising it by smearing plaster over the top. Univiyaha tachu lochem tofel. They smeared on the walls tofel, which means plaster. Chayzim shav. These are prophets. These are prophets that are liars. V'koysmim lochem kazav. They divine lies. I mean, they would say, they would say, "So this is Hashem," but it's a lie. Okay, let's read the whole parak. Then we go to category number 3, the Am Haaretz. Category number 4. Category number 4 is the Am Haaretz, the common man. Ashku Oshek, they were guilty of extortion. Because of Gazal, thievery. The Ani V'Evion Hanu, they caused pain to the poor and the Evion, the destitute. The Esager, Ashku B'loi Mishpat, and the Ger, who has no family, no one to defend, the vulnerable, they robbed without justice. Pasuk Lamed. Yecheskel says, "Nim Vashem, I sought out a man that would breach, close the, would seal the breaches. V'oy made b'peretz, would stand in the broken, the open area. Lefonai ba'ad ha'aretz levilti shacha sos, who ash not destroy it. V'loy matzasi, there was not even one good man to be found to stand up to stop them from their sins." Pasuk Lamed Alpha, Eshpech Aleihem Zami, and thus Hashem says, "I had no choice but put my anger upon them." Be'eshev Rasi Kilisim, I destroyed them through the fire of my anger. Darkom Bereisham Nasati, Mida Kineged Mida, what they did will not come upon them. Ne'um Hashem Elokim. Okay, so let's finish up these psukim in the Mefarshim Pasuk Chaf Zayin Sareha in the Mitzudo Stavid. We're going to category number 3. Sareha, the leaders. Hasadim Hashem b'kirba hema k'zevik, and they're like wolves. Ki yitrifu teref lishpach dam dam la'abin nefashos l'man yigzalu mehem es oishet, to steal their money. So notice that we compare the prophets, we compare them to lions. When we talk about the leaders, we compare them to wolves. Which one is more dangerous? Each one is unique. Each one, I don't know the differences, but each one.
The Malbim says that the lions kill when they're hungry. I don't know how true it is. But lions kill when they're hungry. Zev just killed for
fun.
They just feel like killing people for no benefit even worse. For themselves, right?
Even worse. Fascinating.
They just do it.
But so probably they're
attack people.
But probably the degree of destruction is not as great as what a lion can do. So when they do destroy, the lions destroy with much greater destruction.
They have an ulterior motive, a lion.
But a lion has a motive and a wolf not. So each one has its smileless and chesroinus, but both of them are no good. Okay, next words of the Mitzudot Stavit. Pasik Chavches Unviyeha Niviyeh HaShaker Tachu Luchem Tafel Alakoysel She'asu Tachim Tit Tafel She'enoy Nisukin Kilchas. The word Tafel is a word of plaster, which means inferior plaster. Liapois HaKoysel Lachalikoy, to beautify the wall and to make it smooth. They polish their words, their lies. The message is shalom, shalom. Everything is going to be good, and they're eloquent, and they're very pleasant in how they make their message known to the people, and that's why it's called tofel, inferior plaster. Chayzim shav misnabim b'shav they lie umagidim lochem kesamim likazav, and they reveal divination that's a lie. Oym beisim b'divrei oym b'shem Hashem koyim Hashem av Hashem lo diver Hashem never said this vahima machish no lies. Pasuk of test the people the common man oshku oishek za oishek aguf b'makos uchudoyme. So he learns that these two words means they actually hit people.
Beat them up.
Haynu the bullies. Haynu ki meharoy los islam tzedaka. They should give tzedakah to the poor people. Imheim loy nasnu v'oy lachu mishlam. Now they're not giving them tzedakah, they rob them. The esager ashku ki im ki ro le'ohavo. The ger, the Torah says multiple times, v'hatem esager ki gerim ha'yisem v'eretz mitzrayim. Someone, I always remember this story, Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Someone, a bachar, yeshiva bachar, he was introduced to a giyores. This bachar came from a very chashva family. A remiyuchas. And he met this girl. And she was a giyores. And he fell in love with her, and he wanted to marry her, and it bothered him that he comes from a mishpacha miyuchesas, and now he wants to marry someone who's a ger. Nothing wrong with the ger, but it doesn't have the yichus, and he comes from. So he went to Rav. He went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he asked him if she should do the shidduch. So he said, "Of course, you'll have an opportunity to mekayim the mitzvah v'ahavtanes hager every single moment of your life." Who has such an opportunity? If you're married to a Gioris, every single moment of your life, you're Mekayim that mitzvah, the Hafna Sager. What? what were the words of wisdom that you just said?
It's okay.
I want to do that mitzvah, but I like it.
Very easy, self-understood. I sought out a person to go and stand up to the Rishon, and I could not find one. Let's see Rashi. The last few psukim of the perek, Rashi pasuk lamed chaf zayin chaf zayin the sodom laman bitzua botza lachatoif mamon. They were corrupt like wolves to go all for money. Talk with lam toifel doimin the toichrei binyan tit sheinu muubud kol tzorchah shein by taven. Toifel is a plaster that does not have straw. Plaster needs straw for it to be strong. It melts. When it rains, it dissolves. So that is exactly what these false prophets have done for you. They've polished their words with beauty, but it's worthless. When the day of Zam arrives, their words are totally nonsense. This general word, whenever it says word tofel, it means something which lacks perfection. Tofel, which is subordinate, it's secondary. It's not complete. Let's see the Radak. What?
Second rate.
Let's see Radak, back, Pasik, Chof, Zayin, Soreha, Leman, Bitsua, Botza. Okay, it's not really clear. He's not really giving a full explanation. The question is better than the answer. Why are we returning to category number one in the middle? Yeah. they built a partition, v'sha'alei tin patir, and they applied, they smeared upon it tin patir. Patir means secondary, deloy tivan, misnaban. And they smeared cement that's lacking straw, which means that it's not strong. And what does that mean? Misnaban, shakar, they prophesized lies. Umalfin, they taught lahon kadvin lies. They taught you lies. Kvar pirashu zel inyan lamala b'pasuk v'gubonei chayitz. That we already mentioned, Perikud Gimel, the theme, the concept of the goder and the chayitz and the teven and the different plaster. Now we go to category 4. Am aretz misha chasik mechaber oish oishkav goizloi ki misha b'ir v'pasuk lamid v'avakesh mehem ish goder goder amarti ulai yetze mehem ish yigdar ha'peratzas. Maybe there'll be one good man that will come to the rescue. The Yamoy Baperet Shalo Yavruhu Harashoyim the Aparotsos Him Averos. What are the Parotsos? That's the Averos, the Agoide Osam Oyamid Bifnaim Huamoinea. The one that stands in the breach is the one that Sadik that gives Musar to the people to prevent them from doing Averos. Umachazidam Lumder Khatoy, Vyamur Lufanail Hispalel, or the at least a person should daven to Hashem Ba'ata Aretz. The Vilti Shah Hasoit should not be destroyed. Kikvar Shavu Midakim Haroyim. Moshe Rabbeinu is exactly the person that did this. Moshe Rabbeinu was the person that stood in the peretz to prevent people from doing averos, to hold them back. Goider b'shnei to'amim b'marich ha-gigimul. Here we have two different words, repetition. B'nei ha-makof ha-mamid, I don't know what this means. B'dal lahamid ma'at b'nei ha-tzari shabdalus ki lo yovu po'olam yashlimim. Okay, let's leave that out. This is too much dictic for me. For eshpech mevarhi, self-under. So that concludes the parak. Now, this is before the critical malbum. The malbum says there are four categories. The four categories correspond to the four different types of metal. And the malbum very beautifully explains how they correspond. Number one is the nechoshes. The nechoshes corresponds to the prophets. The Nevi'e Sheker. Why? What does Nechoshes have to do with Nevi'e Sheker? Nichush. Nechoshes is related to the word Nichush. Nichush means in Kesem, divination, magic. Period. Next. Why are the next category is the Kohanim. Who do they correspond to? The Bedil. The lead. Why?
Bedil
is tin. Tin, sorry, tin. Tin. Why? Because the Kohanim, it says in the Pasuk, this is very creative. You need a Malbim to do this. You couldn't do this on your own. Vayibodel aharon lehakdishoi kodesh kodoshim. Hashem separated Aaron to be kodesh kodoshim. That's the Pasuk in Divrei Hayom. It's not even the Pasuk in Chumash. Vayibodel. So Vayibodel means separation, and that's related to the word Gdil. Gdil is tin. So therefore, when we talk about the Gdil, we're talking about the corruption of the Kohanim, all represented under the banner of Aaron HaKohen. Third category is Barzel. Who are the Barzel? That are the leaders, the Sorim. Why? Why does it have to do? What does it have to do with Barzel? Because Barzel is the word ze'ev.
But you could have quoted a pasuk from the Chumash, what deal as chem beinu amim liel sleep. We just read it.
Is that the refer to Kohanim?
No, it's basically
that's whole Kol Yisrael.
Yeah.
Okay, now the Barzel, he doesn't really explain. He doesn't say it's not phonetically. It's not a shoresh. All he writes here is Shibateches Hayoser Chozok. Barzel is the strongest of all metals, and that corresponds to the Ze'evim. Kikain Hayu Kizem Sheyesh Hevel Bein Ha'Aryeh. Here he talks about the difference between the Aryeh and the Ze'ev. Ha'Aryeh Ein Tarif Elim Adam Rak B'Shasra Avoinoy. When he's hungry, Alav Hazev Tarif Lishmach Dam Gam Kesheinu Ro'ev. And that's why, okay, he's being a little bit creative here, that the Ze'ev is like Barzel, because they're the worst. Just like Barzel is the strongest metal, the Ze'ev is the worst, the most ferocious to attack even when it's not hungry. And then we come to the Hamoinam. They're compared to the Oiferes. The Eferes is lead. And what's the relationship to lead? Because they are Gorua Miklum. It's the lowliest. It's the lowliest of the metals, lead. And the common man in society is on the lowest level, the lowest social status. That's all he says. Heim hayu hayferes hagorua mikulam veheim ashku v'gam gazlu. That's all he says. All right, so therefore it's a nice idea. The four different types of, no one else ties the pesukim together, the four different types of metal corresponding to the four different groups, the Nevi'im, the Kohanim, the Sodim, and the Am Ha'aretz, corresponding to the Nechoshes, to the Bedil, to the Barzel, and then the Oiferes. There is no Zav. That's what we started with. There is no Zav. Who's the Kesef? The Tzadikim. So that was what Radak said. The one interpretation is that there was some Kesef. There was big Kesef. According to the base, in the visible base, there were a few Tzadikim mingled with the people. There was a little bit of Kesef. Okay? This concludes the section. Let me just make sure I move this Maimon Chazal for a moment. Okay, there's one Maimon Chazal, and that says, Amabaya lecharva Yerushalayim ela b'shvil shechilu bo es ha-Shabbos. One of the 11 things listed in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos is Chil Shabbos. Chil Shabbos is critical to the Chumash HaMikdash. Okay, we'll stop over here.